ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
To some Jeezy right now, man. Rock with your boy.
Montana from the block, got him gone crazy. My youngest slang a wop like I steal the ass. You claiming you the realest when your watchful gag. Show me who's you jeweling, man. That boy crazy. She tried to charge me for the box, man. The shorty crazy. I ain't trying to blow your spot up, but this bitch is crazy. All I wanted was a meal and a new Mercedes. Now I'm jumping on these niggas like the new McGrath. White House, Black Road, them South Bronx, they know me. You can't talk, got show me. Them brown bags, y'all own me. Take these, then call me. That brain freeze ain't on me. You can't hate, can't hold me. I whip phones like I stole them.
What it is, man? Like I said, man, this is episode number 138 of the report. I am your host, Mr. Span, and this is the first episode of 2017, man, and we on a new night. We are on a new night, man. We are doing this shit twice a week. Try to put this shit out twice a week for y'all, man. Real talk, gotta get this content up. There's so much shit that be going on during the course of the week, and I only do the show once a week, and I know it's so many things that I miss that I know I want to talk about, but by the time I get around to talking to it, it's late, man. It's late. I'm like, all right, man, I done missed that boat, right? So, yeah, man, this is what it is. We got a new schedule for the 2017, man. Thursdays and Sunday nights, 8:30, we doing the Span Report live, man. So go ahead and subscribe to the Span Report on not only iTunes and Stitcher, but also on YouTube, man. And you can get alerted when I do go live, man. You can participate in the chat room, and you can participate and just be a part of the whole damn experience, man, as we try to do this and grow the Span Report here in 2017, man. But of course, before I get into everything, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond to them here on the show as well, man. You can also hit me up on the feedback, on the email, I'm sorry, at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback at thespanreport.com. Hit me up with those emails. I'll read those emails here on the show, man. I'll respond to those here on the show as I do always, man. Also, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, so we can chop it up throughout the week, talk about everything that's going on throughout the week on there when I'm not on the mic. So go ahead and follow me there on Twitter and Instagram. Same name, pretty much everywhere, man. Even on Facebook, it's the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. So it's pretty much Mr. Span everywhere. But go ahead and follow me there on those platforms, man. Of course, as I said, man, subscribe to the show on YouTube. And you can watch these shows live, man, as we do them and be a part of the chat room and be a part of the experience as we do these live. Of course, you can always catch it on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Oh, and I'm not on Podomatic anymore. What the fuck am I talking about? all of that stuff, man. Pretty much everywhere podcasts are available except for SoundCloud and Podomatic, man. You can pretty much catch the Span Report, man. So go ahead and subscribe when and where you can. And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. The podcast is actually streamed live over there at the website as well. Vote in the polls, man. Leave comments on the on the episodes. Everything is available at thespanreport.com. Every episode down to episode one. I'm going into my seventh year, man. My seventh year doing podcasting. So, yeah, man, everything is available there. Everything is available at thespanreport.com, man. So, yeah, let's keep this ball rolling for 2017, man. I got some big hopes and some big dreams and shit for 2017, man. Real talk. But yeah, man, it's the end of the holiday season. It is the end of the holiday season, man. And I don't know if y'all noticed or not. I don't know if you could really tell. Hold on, let me see. Do it look like I got it on? I got my swole on over the holiday weekend, or over the holiday, you know, or whatever. I kind of gained a little bit of weight, man, like 15 pounds. I gained 15 pounds over the course of the 12 days that I was off of work for the holidays, man. And a lot of it was just a lot of drinking beer, a lot of eating. A lot of sitting around. So it wasn't about working out or nothing like that. I looked up and I went from a cool 190 to 205, man, real quick. It happened quick, man. Didn't take much effort at all. So I know a lot of y'all, for y'all New Year's resolutions and whatnot, y'all chose to say that you want to go out and you want to try to lose weight and whatnot. Very admirable goal for you to have, man. And shout out to every last one of y'all who gonna do that. My wife is really encouraging me to try to do that. I may give it a little bit of a shot. But honestly, man, with the way that I work and my job is very physical, I'm pretty sure that I can drop these 15 pounds just by taking my ass to work, right? Just by going to work, I can just kind of drop it. I got on the scale right before I got on the mic. I've already dropped 3 pounds. Right. It's not that hard for me to drop weight, man. I know the older I get, the harder it's going to get. And I'm not bragging. But yeah, man, I feel like I can drop these 15 pounds relatively easily just by taking my ass to work and doing what I do every day for 10 hours a day. And that is what it is, man. Also, man, I know that, you know, some of us are coming off an extended break. You know, like I said, I had 12 days off. I actually only used 4 vacation days to get those 12 days off, right? Because the way that my company is set up, because the holidays fell on the weekend, so Christmas Eve and Christmas fell on Saturday and Sunday, so they gave us the Friday and that Monday off. I'm like, bet. So those 3 days in between, I was able to get those off. Damn it, I done lost my train of thought. Oh, okay, yeah. So I was able to use like 4 vacation days to get 12 days off, man. And it was cool. But having been off for the 12 days, man, I took full advantage of having that time off, man. I stayed up all hours of the night. I played video games. I still ain't finished Mafia 3, but I played video games, man. I listened to podcasts. I watched movies, man. I thoroughly enjoyed my time not really having nowhere to be. Real talk. But I know one goddamn thing, man. And I know I'm not the only one who felt this way. But, what the hell? Hold on, this shit is still playing. No. I know I'm not the only one who felt this way. But when that alarm clock went off, for Monday for some of y'all, Tuesday it was for me, for that first time when you had to get up and go to work, I know a lot of y'all felt like, ain't that some shit? Here we go.
God damn!
That's how I felt. I felt just like that. I got up at 6, and I knew I had to get up at 6, and it still was some bullshit. I was like, man, fuck. Right? Having that time off and having to get up early in the morning when you've been, like, used to, like, being up till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, sitting up watching movies and documentaries and shit on Netflix or whatnot. Yo, it's an adjustment. And, like, my first day back to work, guess what I did when I got home? I took a nap. I took a nap because my body had to get readjusted to having to get my ass up early in the morning to go deal with this weather that is here in Michigan. Now, I know some of y'all down south, you know, some of my family down there, man, I know a lot of y'all, sometimes y'all be like, yo, man, it's cold as shit down here, man. It's 40 degrees. Yo, when I got up and I went to work this morning, it was 19 degrees outside, but the real feel outside was zero. We had a wind chill of zero. And when I had to step outside and when I got in my car, I was straight up like,
God damn!
It was cold as shit, man. Flat out. And I'm outside all day. Well, really, I wasn't outside. I was kind of sitting in my truck pretty much. But yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, man. So it's an adjustment getting back to work, man. Shout out to everybody that got back to work for the new year and whatnot, man. And getting back into that grind and going to earn that money, earn that living, man. And, you know, do it all again so we can just keep this ball rolling, right? Another thing that kind of happened over the course of the holidays, man, was this, man. So, of course, you guys know, man, we got a pet here in the Span household, man. Little pooch by the name of Tyrone, man. Little long-haired chihuahua, man. Tyrone is my little homie. Tyrone be sleeping pretty much all the time. Like, Tyrone works 4 or 5 jobs. But, Tyrone, man, is a bit of a senior dog, man. Tyrone is about 13, I believe. I'm not really sure. He was a rescue dog. He was my wife's dog. And Tyrone was having a bit of trouble controlling himself when it came to, you know, when he had to piss, man. Tyrone just, like, you look up and Tyrone would just, like, be walk right up to you and just, like, start pissing. And at first we was, like, We thought something was, like, he was pissed. Like, my wife was thinking, like, Tyrone was mad at us about something. I'm like, nah, I don't think the dog really thinks that too. Like, he's that calculated. I don't think it's like that. I honestly feel like Tyrone really couldn't control his urinal thing no more, man. Like, he just couldn't control it no more. So, Pooch got to walk around with the doggy depends, man. We got the Pooch around here with the doggy depends. And it's kind of, like, man, like, he, you know, maybe he might be, you know, he may be sick or something like that, and it's kind of fucked up, you know. it's kind of fucked up, but you know, it just kind of makes you think, man. Like, you know, it's like, man, like I never thought that I would own a dog where I ever felt like, yo, man, I might want to put a diaper on him. Like, never thought I'd ever see the day, man. That was not my experience growing up with dogs or whatnot. I've never been one to, like, mistreat a dog or nothing. But I come from the hood where people don't even bring their fucking dogs inside when it's cold, you know. I come from where, you know, people just, instead of taking the dog out at scheduled parts of the day and potty training the dog properly, they just set the motherfucker outside and then hope he do something while he outside and then let him back in and he's in the basement the entire time. They never really take care of their fucking dogs. So, you know, to see, you know, how Tyrone has, like, kind of transitioned, because it seemed to me like it happened kind of quick, man. Tyrone was, like, you know, one of those spry-ass pups always trying to, you know, chase a squirrel or some shit, and now you'd be like, come on, man, let's go, and he's just like, all right, man, whatever. Right? You know, and then, like, if he did pee in the house or something like that, and I'm telling my wife, he'd be looking at me, Tyrone looking at me like, you tell on everything. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why do you always got to say, you're a fucking snitch, man. You snitch on everything. Right? So, yeah, man, doggy depends. I never thought I'd see the day, but yeah, my pooch Tyrone, and that is his real name, man. The dog's name is Tyrone. He wears diapers now. That's a thing, and that's what's happening over here, man. Real talk. But another thing happened, man. And this is some funny shit to me. Real talk. I was on Facebook earlier this week, right? And of course, sometimes you see things over the holidays and whatnot, folks. You know, they eat, you know. A lot of times when it comes to, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas, a lot of times the menu is pretty much the same, right? So you eating, you know, like, what, turkey and dressing, collard greens, macaroni and cheese, sometimes people fry fish and, you know, all sorts of stuff. Chitlins are kind of a staple in a lot of black households and whatnot when it comes to, you know, the holiday festivities and the holiday menu, right? So one of the things I saw, man, over the course of these holidays, man, was I came across this post, man. This dude had found out as his sister was cooking, or she was cleaning the chitlins, that she had like three assholes. There were three assholes at the end of the chitlins. Now check this out. My man said he quit cold turkey. He's like, yo, man, I see, like, my sister in here cleaning up these chitlins, and it's three assholes in the chitlins. I'm sick to my stomach. I don't ever want to eat chitlins no more. And my thinking was like, yo, what made you think that chitlins wasn't associated with asshole? It took you actually seeing the asshole for you to figure out that the chitlins was attached to an asshole? That's like being mad that a hall has a doorway, right? The shit got to go somewhere. All of the doo-doo is passing through the chitlins to get to the door, to the asshole. You have no problem eating the hallway, but you got a problem with the doorway. Come on, man. Come on. Like, this is a thing. Like, and you know what? I thought about it, man. There was this restaurant here in Detroit, and I'm not going to give their name out because I don't want no lawyers hitting me up and talking about, you know, suing your boy. But there was this restaurant here in Detroit, man, where, like, yo, they still have feathers on the motherfucking chicken. Like, you could tell they really wasn't cleaning the chicken. And I just said, fuck it. I don't want to go to that restaurant anymore. But that didn't stop me from eating chicken wings. My man been eating chitlins, knowing full and goddamn well that chitlins was the guts of the pig. And now you mad that the guts got an asshole attached to them. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. That kind of shit was funny to me. And I know some of y'all got those little funny acting and funny eating friends and whatnot. That shit was funny to me that it took him seeing the asshole for him to decide that, you know what, man, these chitlins might not necessarily be the best thing for your boy. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that shit happened, man. But, yeah, man, it's been a lot of stuff, man. Like, so I want to kind of get into, you know, some of this stuff, man. Like, so Don Lemon was bringing in the new year down to New Orleans, and New Orleans is one of my favorite cities, man. I love it down there. Got married down there. Always a good time. The food is great. The drink is great. Good times to be had down in the Big Easy, man. Shout out to everybody in New Orleans that listen to the Spare Report, right? And so Don Lemon takes his ass down to he took his ass down to New Orleans, and I believe CNN was doing some New Year's Eve coverage of New Year's Eve, right? And I think it was at Anderson Cooper, and I forget that lady's name, Kathy Griffin, were like the host. And I guess what's this lady's name, Brooke and Don were like correspondents in New Orleans. And Don Lemon went down there and started talking about first of all, the motherfucker got his ear pierced live on TV. That was funny. But then he got to opening up about his relationships and shit. He got to talking about how 2016 sucked. Matter of fact, let me pull this video up. See if I can pull this up real quick so I can show you guys. I can show you better than I can tell you. Where is it? Okay, here's what we gonna do. Check this out, y'all. Sound to me like they right in the middle of doing some New Year's Eve celebration for real.
Wait, I need a little more. I need a little more. Pour me a little more.
Oh, there he is.
A little more. Perfect. Ah! That had a big head on it. So, I can't hear anything.
I can't hear a thing.
I can't hear a damn thing.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
He fucks up.
Seriously, having a moment.
2016 was awful.
They cut his audio. Once he got to talking about how bad 2016 was, they cut the audio feed for this shot. You know what? I don't think this is the video that I was looking for. I don't think this is it. There was a video of Don Lemon while he was getting his ear pierced. But not only that, Don Lemon was talking about how he was going to be more open to relationships. He's not really open to relationships. He's kind of a selfish person. He lives his life to the fullest. He even said, like, I'm lit and I don't care. Like, all sorts of shit, man. Don Lemon was getting fucked up on the airways for CNN while reporting on New Year's Eve, man. Like, it was funny as shit live to watch it happen. The funny thing about that is, like, CNN is supposed to be, like, a serious news station, right? So you got this dude out here getting fucked up on the news, man, live as it happened. Now, some of us here in Detroit, we've kind of grown up with legendary broadcaster, man, Bill Bonds. Everybody in Detroit is familiar, or those of us of a certain age is familiar with Bill Bonds being lit on the air. This isn't the first time we've seen that happen, because it used to happen here in Detroit. It's just still funny when it does happen. Don Lemon getting fucked up, getting his ear pierced, talking about his relationship status while reporting the news live on the air, man. Real talk. So that shit happened, man. 2017 coming in with a bang on CNN, right? Now, I know I was talking about Tyrone a little bit earlier, and there was another story coming out dog related. And this one here revolved around a dog who wasn't necessarily happy, was not really fucking happy with his family. And the reason he wasn't happy with his family is because they decided that they wanted to put a holiday sweater on the dog, man. Now, I will say this, as someone who owns a dog, as someone who sometimes has to put clothes on the dog. Because, you know, although Tyrone has fur, I mean, he's only 9 pounds and it gets cold outside. Might need a little extra protection, right? So sometimes we'll put a sweater on Tyrone. Tyrone does not like that sweater. He hates putting it on. When you try to put it on, he's moving his head all sorts of ways to keep you from putting it on. Tyrone does not like you fucking with his feet. He don't want no boots. He don't want no shoes to kind of protect his little paws and shit in the salt and snow. Even though it irritates his paws when he walks in the salt, he don't want you fucking with his feet, right? Dogs hate that shit. They don't like putting on clothes for you. You think the shit look cute. Your dog is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you putting me in this shit? I ain't built for this, right? Your dog hates it. And so this family decided that they wanted to put their pit bull in a holiday sweater for Christmas. Only the pit bull had other ideas. He wasn't really trying to fuck with them like that. So check this out. Wait, where'd he go? Oh, there it is.
New at 11, the family dog turns on its owners. Even a knife and a taser couldn't stop him. Good evening, I'm Ashley Glass.
And I'm Paul LeGrone. Wendy Jameson have the night off. Michael Peluska live at Tampa General tonight, where a mother is getting serious treatment for very serious bites. Mike.
Paul, Ashley, you know, pretty terrifying that mom rushed here to Tampa General Hospital. She had severe bites to her arms. Police telling us this all started because that mom tried to dress her dog up in a sweater.
A terrifying sight, a pit bull covered in his own blood and probably the blood of his owner, Brenda Guerrero. She was attacked late this afternoon outside her Tampa home.
The female was trying to put a sweater onto a pit bull mix. When she was out there, the dog attacked her, seriously biting her in the arm.
The dog, named Scarface, wouldn't let go.
Oh,
Guerrero's husband, Ismael, tried pulling him off. No luck.
The son tried to save them as well, grabbed a knife and stabbed the dog, trying to help them out.
Responding officers couldn't stop the dog either. They used beanbag rounds from a shotgun and a taser.
Well, Scarface, how on that shit?
The dog was still pulling away and was able to release the prongs from the taser.
But it took a tranquilizer dart from animal control to finally subdue the dog.
My God, I had no idea it was that bad.
Joe Montgomery says the family just put up this beware of dog sign. He's just grateful now that no children were hurt.
They got kids there. And as that dog gets out of the gate, he could be dangerous, you know, to a kid, you know. So he never attacked nobody I know of on this street.
So right now that dog is with animal control. At this point, we're still waiting to learn whether or not that dog will have to be put down. We're live here at Tampa General Hospital tonight. Michael Peluska, ABC Action News.
All right, now, shut up. Now, I hope they don't put that dog down. I really do. I don't really think that dog is a danger to that neighborhood. One of the things I find, like, especially with pit bulls, man, people have this perception of pit bulls as being these vicious, like premeditating sort, like kind of animals and stuff like that. No, pit bulls, like any other dogs, are manageable in how you personalize them. Like, you can manage your dog to be where he's overly fucking aggressive and he's mean and he's ready to bite every fucking thing. And you can also manage and socialize your dog to where he's not so aggressive, to where he's not a threat to society at large and what have you. I honestly feel like, yo, the dog didn't want to be fucked with that sweater. He was probably trying to wriggle his way away from the fucking sweater anyway, and she could insist on putting that sweater on him. And guess what? The only way he can verbalize, yo, I don't want this shit on me, was to bite her. Get the fuck off of me. That's how I feel about it. That's how I feel about it, man. Sometimes I think, you know, we start ascribing some of these human-like traits to these animals, man. These animals aren't thinking about it on that higher level. All I know is that dog probably didn't want that shit on, and the only way he could figure out to not have to have to put this sweater on was like, yo, man, I might have to bite this motherfucker, man. I can't do it. I can't do it. So I really do hope that they don't put that damn dog down. But I do know this, man. I bet you they probably won't try to do that shit again. Real talk. I bet you they probably won't do that. But another thing, too, they named the dog Scarface. They really thought they was going to put the damn Scarface dog down with a beanbag. Really? That's what we doing? Beanbag. Beanbag for Scarface. Have you seen the movie? Have you seen the fucking movie, man? Real talk. Now, moving on, man. Moving on, though. On a more serious note, man. On a more serious note. Of course, you guys know we here at the Spare Report are not fans of the Donald Trump administration. I did not say Trump. I said Chump. He will be Donald Trump for the duration of his asshat and chiefness, right? But before Donald Trump can be sworn in, the Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives have already been sworn in, and they are already in session. And one of the first things, one of the very first things that the Republican majority in the Congress, one of the very first things that the Republican Congress tried to enact was to gut the Independent Ethics Office. Now, for those of you who don't know what the Independent Ethics Office is basically an oversight committee for members of Congress, for legislators. So it's looking for unlawful activity from those who are supposed to be making the laws. For those, is looking for corruption, is looking for collusion, is looking for pay for play. All of these things, the Independent Ethics Office investigate these things when it comes to your House of Representatives, your reps, and your senators, right? So the first thing that they do, the very first agenda that the Republican leadership, well, not the leadership, because ironically, and this is hard, but Paul Ryan did not want them to do this, right? And I don't think it's not, I don't think it's because he didn't want them to, I don't think it's because he's a proponent and wanting this in place. I think he's really just like, yo, we don't want this to be the first thing we get, you know, we do once we get, you know, we get pledged in. I said pledged in. Once we get sworn in as the new Congress, right? So here's why this is problematic, right? For those of us who have been paying attention, if you look at North Carolina after the election, they actually elected a new governor in North Carolina. What's his name? Pat McCrory was a Republican governor. He lost his reelection bid, and in an effort to kind of thwart the authority of the new Democratic elected governor in North Carolina, the North Carolina Republican legislature attempted to kind of cap him off at the knees by basically passing laws where he didn't have control over large portions of the legislature that he would have normally, right? And they did this by having a secret vote in a closed session, right? To basically try to neuter the Democratic governor now in charge of North Carolina, right? So the Republicans, taking a cue from that, one of the very first things that they do was try to gut the office, which was to hold them accountable for any sort of corruption, any sort of pay for play, any sort of legislative malfeasance. They can be checked on. They try to gut the office that can check them on that, right? And Donald Trump actually came out and said he's not for it. He says that, you know, that it's more so what Donald Trump would say is the timing of it. Because, again, Donald Trump doesn't necessarily want that to be the first thing that they do. But although Donald Trump, as we know, has a lot of ethical questions himself. So we don't want to be known for having the very first thing we do as Republicans and power to gut the check and the balance to our power. We don't want to be seen as that. So the Republicans backed off of that after getting a large backlash because of this, right? Now, some of those in the media would say that Donald Trump, because he was against this on Twitter and publicly, that they give him credit for getting the Republicans in Congress to kind of change their mind. Never mind all of the people who flooded the phone lines, who called the senators and their representatives to say, no, this is not what the fuck y'all supposed to be there doing. They try, like, it was real easy for the media to give credit to Donald Trump for this. When Donald Trump really just said, yo, we don't want to do this now. We might want to do this later. And trust and believe, this will come back later. We don't want to do this now, though. Let's just put this on the back burner. We just got in here. We don't want to be, you know, we don't want to make these appearances. We don't want to give these Democrats this easy ammo. Too late. Too late, because we already know this is something that you have on the agenda. Not only that, it's also one of those things where, like, yo, who's really running this shit? Like, if they could really get rid of the oversight over themselves, then what power did that oversight committee really have if they could be done over, if they could be checked by the people with whom they're supposed to be checking? How much teeth did that particular office have? If they can simply say, yo, in a bipartisan, well, not bipartisan, but in a majority vote, straight party line, get rid of the office that watches over them. So it's going to be real interesting to see how a lot of this shit plays out, man. They're already setting the wheels in motion to get this shit to just kind of steamroll over a lot of shit. Kind of steamroll over a lot of stuff. And of course, like I said, they didn't do it now, but Donald Trump got credit for it, which he really didn't deserve. He doesn't deserve credit for a lot of shit that's happening over the course of the last couple of weeks that he has no problem, absolutely no problem taking credit for, right? So that happened. But we got some more stuff going on, man. We got some more gold. We have some more gold. And that gold is none other than Dr. Umar Johnson. And you know what? With the way that this shit is planning out, I think we're going to have to bring back This Week in Hotep and just call it the Special Hotep Unit. This episode in the Special Hotep Unit, right? As a matter of fact, that's what we'll do this week on the Special Hotep Unit.
In the Black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a Special Hotep Unit. These are their stories.
Now. Of course, you guys know last week we talked about Umar Johnson. Umar Johnson was embroiled in a little bit of a beef with another hotep by the name of Sara Sutensetti, a guy who's based right here in the city of Detroit. And they were beefing over who was the leader of the RBG Black Consciousness Movement. Who started it? Who's running it? Who's the man now? Who's the king? Who's the prince? Who's the general and all of that? All I know is, and all of that shit, I got myself a title, and it's the Imperial Grandmaster of Logic, Common Sense, and Redundancy, right? And sometimes I may refer to myself in the third person, right? I mean, that seems to be the rules when it comes to hoteps in their world, right? So while we're going to embroil ourselves in their world, man, we got to kind of pick up on their traits, man. When in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? So, Umar Johnson, after getting a bunch of backlash over that video that shows him kind of, you know, being unprofessional, being a bit of a street hood, so to speak, Umar Johnson issued an apology, man. Umar Johnson issued an apology. And you know what? We here at the Span Report like apologies, man. We like when folks take account for when they fuck up. Like, you know what, man? My bad. I fucked up. Be accountable for your shit. We like that here at the Span Report, man. It's honorable. It's admirable. All of those good things, man, right? So Umar decided he was going to give an apology. So we here at the Span Report, because this is what Mr. Span does, you know, we play all of that. We going to allow Umar Johnson to apologize to the community, to all of us, really, man, because we all deserve an apology because, you know, that wasn't the right way. That wasn't the right way to express yourself as a leader of men and as the black and of the black community, so to speak. So let's get this apology popping. Let's pull up Umar right here. And there he is. So let's see what Umar has to say.
What has transpired over the past 72 hours? And a lot of it was the result of some comments I made in response to an attack that was made against me by one of our brothers. Although I had a right to respond, and although I could have eloquently and articulately responded without vulgarity.
Yes, you could have.
As I teach our young people, I did not heed my own words, advice, and example.
You did not, sir.
So I want to apologize to three groups of people.
Wait, just three?
For the way in which I conducted myself.
Okay.
I want to apologize to the elders in our community.
Yeah, granny need
not
to apologize.
Just the conscious community, but the whole black community. That's you understand
up.
Me?
That's what's up.
Because Dr. Umar's work is above and beyond black consciousness. It is about black elevation.
Mr. Span is hearing you, dog. Mr. Span is hearing
I want to especially apologize to our young people, our children,
yeah,
and
man,
our young
I want
adults.
A good look. The kids,
in fact,
man,
this video
look.
Is largely about them. Because although I got thousands of texts and emails.
Really? It was thousands?
Over the past 72 hours.
Man, that's a lot.
None touched me more than those that came from the children.
Yeah, man, that's touching.
I have 14-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds and 21-year-olds and 24-year-olds who had reached out and said, Doc, we love you, man. You can't do that no more.
Yeah, the 12-year-olds.
It's not a good example
know,
for us.
They'll let you know.
That's what touched me. When that 14-year-old texted me, that's what touched me. When that 21-year-old sent me that email, that's what touched me. Mm. So I'm largely doing this for the children.
All right.
And so
okay.
I want to apologize to all the African children, not just in the United States, but around the world. Who?
Man, this is sounding really motherfucking sincere. I might have been wrong about Umar. I might have been wrong about him all this time. Your man Span might have been bugging. I'm man enough to say when I'm wrong, I might have been wrong. He sounds really motherfucking sincere right here, right? I might have to give him a shot. I'm going to give him a shot.
Respect and adore Dr. Umar Johnson. I apologize, guys. And in 2017, we're turning over a new leaf.
Well, that's what's
and
up, man. 2017, new beginnings and all that, man.
I also
bravo,
want to apologize
my
to my
bravo.
Supporters.
Okay.
My supporters. Huh? People who support me. People who have donated to the fundraiser.
Oh, shit.
And those who have not yet been able to do so, but do support me. Because a lot of you guys go out of your way to advocate and defend and take up for me. And I don't need to be giving you extra battles to fight.
You don't need to do that
but
to me,
I am
man.
So very thankful for you all who did stand up and fight those battles for me. Nothing does a heart better than to go on Facebook or Instagram and see a brother or sister who you haven't even met yet, and some you have, smacking some of these trolls up and dismissing some of these trolls and checking some of these trolls because it makes my job easier. In fact, personally, I believe to some extent I shouldn't even have to respond to hate.
What?
I think y'all should do it for me because of the work that I've done, because of my record, because of how many children I've saved.
Hold up, bruh. You don't have to address your crit. Like, you feel like other motherfuckers should be out here addressing people who got something to say about you because of this work that you done did? That's what you... Okay. Hey, man, All right.
Parents I've helped. Prisons I've served. I really feel that I shouldn't have to take it upon myself to defend. I really think the people should. So to the supporters, I want to thank you all. You're very special.
You're tripping right there.
And some of you defend me more than people in my own circle who don't defend me, who will say they support me, and then I turn around and they hanging out with haters all on their page. You know, so I want to thank you guys for that. Now, there's one group I don't apologize to.
Okay. So here's my beef, and I thought I wasn't going to have one. You can't issue an apology with conditions, bruh. That's when your apology becomes insincere. That's when your apology becomes insincere. If you're going to apologize, apologize. End of story. Apologies don't come with addendums. They don't come with additions to, like, none of that. Don't come with any of that. Yo, man, I was wrong. I fucked up. My bad. The end. I hope it doesn't happen again. I'll try my damnedest not to let it happen again. The end. Sincere apologies don't come with fucking conditions. But, okay.
There's one group I don't apologize to. And that's you trifling, filthy, drama addicted, hate-filled, sensationalized content-looking, troublemaking, rumor-spreading, gossip-exploding Negroes who sit around saying that those of us in the conscious community shouldn't conduct ourselves a certain way, and Dr. Umar shouldn't have said this way or that way.
Hey, man, I guess he might be talking about people like myself. Ask me if I give a fuck, though. Like,
you the first one sharing it.
This is true. You
the first one copying it.
Yep.
You the first one making memes about it.
Yep.
This would have never gotten big. I took the video down. It was only up long enough for the brother to see it, for my supporters to see it, and that's it.
Okay. I'm not sure this nigga knows how the internet works, right? There have been people who have been in chat rooms and Facebook groups and shit like that, and it might have been up 3 minutes and somebody got a screen grab of it or a screenshot of it, and they shared it and they used it as evidence against the person when they try to do some fuck shit and think by erasing it, then nobody's going to fucking find out what it was, right? We live in an age of the internet where everything is pretty much fucking forever. Right? So you talking about it wouldn't have been as big if nobody would have shared it, if nobody wouldn't have talked about it, if nobody would have publicized it, it wouldn't have got as big. Hey, my nigga, that's the internet. That's the age in which we live. And somebody who is supposed to be a leader of men at this particular point, if you don't know how to fucking use the internet and you don't know the power of it, then who the fuck are you leading? And how are they letting you lead you? How are they letting you lead them? I'm all tongue tied and shit.
It was down the next morning. That mean you Negroes ripped the video from Facebook and you ran with it. How hypocritical can you be? I admit my mistakes. I apologize.
What conditions?
But how hypocritical can you be to say we shouldn't be doing this? This is counterproductive. This is not what black consciousness is supposed to be about.
What they were using you as an example, sir. This is how this works. They were using you as a fucking example.
and your trifling self takes that video.
They trifling, but you did the video. You set up, hold up. You set up a computer in your hotel room, sat down in front of it with the skull cap on, mean mugging the computer screen, and they the trifling ones. Okay.
Share it, cut it up. Y'all done made 50 videos from one video. How in the hell do you make 50 video from one video?
It was long.
All those memes. I done seen my face on Hulk Hogan's body.
Yeah, that shit's funny.
I done seen the brother's face on Ultimate Warrior. Yeah. I done seen Gilligan's Island, yeah, Little Island. Funny. I done seen WWE, WWF. I done seen... If it's so wrong, why are you trying to profit by it? Not financially. Not financially, but in terms of views. See, this is a big problem for black people.
You know, it's just black people.
Social network is not a blessing for us because we don't use it to spread positivity.
I use it to spread positivity all the time. I use it to spread information. I use it to spread joy and laughter. I use it to spread happiness to my family and my friends. And sometimes that includes laughing at you when you out here fucking up, B.
You don't use social network to spread positivity. You didn't make a meme supporting my fundraiser.
That's because I didn't believe in your fundraiser. And a lot of other motherfuckers didn't believe in your fundraiser either. And your video last week kind of gave them ammunition as to why. It confirmed their beliefs as to why your fundraiser was probably some bullshit.
You didn't make a meme supporting all the kids I keep out of special ed. You didn't make a meme spreading my book. You didn't make a meme for any of the good things that I do. You don't make a...
You don't really have that hard a time telling folks of supposedly all these great things you do. You toot your own horn quite fucking well.
Meme for my Tuesday morning call? In the black media? The black media? Some of you shouldn't even exist. This is why I have a problem with black media.
So now it's black media's fault.
I done seen so many different black media outlets. TheRoot.com that I once respected, but not no more.
Because they called you out.
Okay. I don't know if Atlanta Black Star jumped over this, but, you know, a lot of times you black online magazines and newspapers, y'all will take something negative like this and make it a front page story. Y'all will take something negative like this and make it a front page story, but you won't make the war against black boys a front page story. You don't make the ADHD crisis a front page story. You don't make the fact that they letting white homosexuals adopt homeless black kids by the thousands a front page story.
Remember what I said to y'all last time about that homophobia, man? He's still on it. He is still on it.
You don't make my prison work a front page story, but you'll make a conversation between two men.
If it was a conversation between two men, you'd have picked up the motherfucking phone. You'd have texted him. You'd have called him. You wouldn't have got on the fucking Facebook Live. You wouldn't have recorded no fucking video. And you wouldn't have put it on the internet for the world to fucking consume. If it was a conversation between the two of y'all, pick up the goddamn phone.
A front page story. Because it ain't about the truth. It ain't about black elevation. It ain't about black positive. It's about negative. The only thing worse than the conscious community. The only thing worse than the conscious community.
Is white supremacists?
The only thing worse than the black conscious community is the black media and the conscious paparazzi. The Hotep paparazzi is worse than the conscious community itself.
Wait, they got a fucking paparazzi? Nigga, why didn't nobody tell me, dog? Y'all niggas are out here following these motherfuckers and taking pictures and shit and hiding in bushes and stuff. Why ain't you got like, when this shit happened? Hold up, man. I'm in quote unquote black media. This is an independent outfit over here. Why ain't nobody told me about this shit? Where do I get my paparazzi card for the Hoteps? How do I get about that? How do I go about that action? Somebody let me know. I didn't know that was a thing.
The conscious paparazzi is ridiculous. Listen, I had 500 missed calls yesterday.
No, you didn't. Stop lying, nigga.
500 missed calls. I had 1,000 missed calls the day before yesterday. I had 500 text messages yesterday, 700 the day before. Y'all don't hit me up like that for the Black College and Consciousness Tour. Y'all don't hit me up like that for the Black College and Consciousness Tour. Y'all don't hit me up like that for donations.
Apparently nobody was really hitting your ass up on the phone when you was doing that video last time neither. I'm just saying.
I don't get 500 texts for the address for the donations. I told y'all that I don't charge to speak at prison. Shout out to my brother up in New York at Rikers Island. We're going to do that Rikers Island. Maybe we can do it the day before Brooklyn because I have Brooklyn on Thursday, January the 12th, Brooklyn. So maybe we can do Rikers Island the day before Brooklyn or the day after Brooklyn. I'm not due in Durham until, Durham isn't until the 17th, but King Day in Atlanta is the 12th. Brooklyn, excuse me. Not the 12th, the 16th. Yeah, so we could probably do Rikers. Negative should have been spread like this. Out of respect for my work put in, out of respect for the work I've put in, and respect for the goals that I'm trying to attain, you should have said, listen, the brother didn't do this right. But because of his record, we going to protect him.
So we not going to report on the bullshit you out here doing because you think your record's supposed to speak for itself, nigga? Are you out of your fucking mind? You think that these supposedly black media outfits are supposed to brush your bullshit under the rug because of your work in the community? Nigga, get the fuck out of here, man.
And we ain't gonna spread this.
Accountability, man. Accountability. Have some.
Like wildfire. That's what y'all should have did. But you couldn't help it because social network has made attention the new addiction. I said social network has made attention the new addiction.
And I wonder if you think that you yourself could possibly be suffering from that exact same condition. That exact same condition. You want the attention, only the good attention. You brag about people having all of these videos of you on YouTube. You brag about wherever you go being flown all over the motherfucking world, man, for people to come hear you speak. You brag about, or better yet, you suggest to Sirai Suit and Seti that, yo, man, I'm making enough money. You can come open for me at one of my lectures or shows or presentations, and I'll throw you a few $100. You got all these videos on YouTube because of that's I don't even have a YouTube channel because that's the love I get. You don't think, sir, that you could possibly be suffering from this same addiction that you claim everybody else is supposedly suffering from, only this time is at your demise because you made a fool of your fucking self on the internet live? Okay.
One more time, social network has made attention the new addiction. And you don't give a damn what you got to do to get attention, you will break your neck. I don't understand it. Maybe it's hard for me to understand it, because I get a lot of attention. Maybe, so for me, I don't value the need for attention because it comes automatically.
This nigga can't help himself. The nigga can't help himself.
But for you thirsty, socially starved, unfulfilled, emotional, still undeveloped ego who need outside. See, when you need constant validation and constant views, something ain't right with you.
How is that not applying to yourself here? How are you calling yourself separating yourself from the very thing that you criticizing right fucking now? Right now, where would you be if it was not for the attention that some of these folks were showing you? But it comes easy, right? So you're separated from that. This doesn't apply to you. It applies to everybody else because your bullshit got laid bare in front of everybody else. Fuck out of here, nigga.
That's a mental system. That's a mental issue where you have to always be seen and validated by other people. That's an insecurity piece.
Nigga, you are describing yourself right now to the T. Jesus.
Maybe your father didn't spend enough time with you. Maybe your mother didn't spend enough time. You didn't get the type.
Maybe your barber didn't spend enough time on that hairline. God damn. Jesus.
Of attention from your parents growing up. So now you want to substitute it for the social network. The social network is now providing you with the psychological validation that you never got at home.
That's deep. That's deep.
I'm not saying I'm not taking responsibility. I'm taking responsibility for what I did. But now I need y'all to take responsibility for what you did. Because you did not have to spread that like that.
It's our fault, y'all.
I got African dignitaries texting me. Doc, what's going on?
No, you didn't. Stop lying.
Caribbean dignitaries texting me. This stuff didn't win. I got politicians. Politicians across the United States.
You're getting attention, validation from the politicians and the dignitaries around the world for this bullshit. But it's our fault. It's the black media's fault. It's everybody's fucking fault but yours.
People I didn't even know followed my work. I'm not saying no names. Big name black politicians. Some bourgeois and some not. Some.
Sounds like you're seeking validation there, bro. Sounds like seeking a little bit of validation there, man. Even going so far as to talk about the caliber of the supposed people who were hitting you up. Like, yo, man, what you doing? Sounds to me like you're looking for a little bit of validation by even doing this kind of low-key name-dropping without name-dropping kind of shit.
Some of them shouldn't even reached. Reaching out. That's how deep this thing got in 3 days. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Y'all know I'm not a big stickler for people snatching my videos down, posting them, trying to get your YouTube dollars. I ain't got a problem with that because I believe I'm here to help everybody eat.
I don't get paid off my YouTube videos, man. Not even if I wanted to. I can't get paid off of these motherfuckers. But trust and believe, this shit is gold. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm here to help everybody eat. So if I can help you, okay, my DVD guys, y'all sell my DVDs, y'all know I don't care. You feel me? That's never been an issue for me. That's how I became who I became. So I'm not going to stop my people on the street from eating. Do you feel me? But I do need y'all to be more responsible. I need y'all to be more responsible. There's a brother on YouTube named Blacker. I think y'all know who I'm talking about. His YouTube is B-L-A-K-K-E-R. He might be the one that does the 60,000 views videos. Do y'all know who I'm talking about? Blacker. Well, listen, I need y'all to send Blacker on YouTube a message. He's the main one that takes my Facebook videos and turns them into YouTube videos on his page. He got a lot of my videos. And guess what, my brother? I'm not going to stop you on that right now. But there's two things you're doing I don't like. Number one, when you post the video, you give it a title that is not representative of the heart of my message. It's not representative of the intention of that message. So I need you to stop misrepresenting my message. I need you to be more responsible. And this ain't just for Blacker. This is for all of y'all. If you're going to post my videos on YouTube, the title better be appropriate and responsible.
Nigga, what? Do you realize? Do you understand how this shit works? Like, I'm really trying to figure out, does this nigga understand how this internet shit works? Because it's sounding to me he's more ignorant to this shit than he's let, like...
Title better be appropriate and responsible, okay? Or I'm gonna get it snatched down on copyright because it's still mine. I'm just letting you use it. It's my intellectual material. You understand me? It's mine. But I will let you use it if you can be responsible. Give my titles appropriate labels.
Okay, the title for this shit is Omar Johnson Issues a Condition Field Apology.
Number two, the picture that you use to represent me better be professional. I am.
Man, fuck you. I'll use whatever picture I want.
I'm a black professional. I am a doctor. Do you understand?
That's still up for debate, man. That's kind of questionable, too.
There's enough pictures of me in nice dashikis. There's enough pictures of me with a calm face. There's enough pictures of me with a suit and tie on. You can choose dashiki. You could choose suit and tie. But you showing a picture of me making a certain expression, tongue hanging out my mouth when I'm trying to articulate and using that as the picture, that's not representing me well. I'm going to get your page shut the hell down. I'm not playing that in 2017.
I wish that nigga would. I swear I wish that nigga would. And you know what? I don't even repost his videos, man. Again, like I said, I think a lot of this shit is him not necessarily understanding how this shit works. It really does. That's what it sounds like to me.
Don't be using no misleading, ridiculous looking ass poses of me. That's number two. Okay? Number three, when you edit, do not take comments out of context. When you edit, do not take comments out of context. And the fourth thing, don't be posting no negativity at all.
So don't do exactly what it was that you did. Don't do exactly what it was that you did. Now, we 20 minutes into this, man, and we're not going to go all the way through this. This video is fucking 47 minutes long. I'm not about to do this for 47 minutes, but I will say this, man. Umar Johnson has lost, well, with someone like myself, he's never really had any real credibility to begin with. But there's a lot of people who were really following Umar Johnson who, even after watching this video, looked at this nigga and was like, are you out of your fucking mind? Are you serious right now? When this dude goes on to say that, yo, I shouldn't even have to fight these battles. Y'all should be out here fighting these battles for me because of the work that I done put in. Like, dog, you got a way more inflated ego and a way more bigger self-importance than a lot of folks. You think of yourself in a more important way than a whole hell of a lot of other people do in that community and those who follow you. You don't have it like you think you have it, dog. And two, you issued an apology 47 minutes long where the apology came in like the first 3 minutes, and then you trying to lecture motherfuckers on how to behave when you didn't exhibit the behavior that you're preaching right now. Umar Johnson is out here, and like, I put it to you like this, man. Umar Johnson's video sounded a whole hell of a lot like this.
Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. Huh? You think you can do this shit? Jay! You think you can do this to me? You motherfuckers will be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get finished with you. Shoe program, nigga. 23-hour lockdown. I'm the man up in this piece. You'll never see the light of day. Who the fuck you think you fucking with? I'm the police. I run shit here. You just live here. Yeah, that's right. You better walk away. Go on, walk away, because I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. King Kong ain't got shit on me.
That's what Umar Johnson sounded like just a week ago. And now he's going to admonish everybody else on how to behave themselves on the fucking internet. Nigga, get all the way the fuck up out of here. All the way the fuck up out of here. And there's a little thing called fair use on these internet streets, man. So, yeah, I can repost your video and I can add commentary to it as I critique what it is that you say. So we're going to go with that. And I see how easy it is for you to get the videos taken down. I mean, honestly, even if you do get the video taken down, man, like, there are other ways for me to distribute this content, bruh. And other ways for anybody else to distribute the content. Don't be a fucking dickhead. Don't place blame on everybody else for the shit that you did. Be a motherfucking man. Stand on your own 2 feet and stop blaming everybody else for what the fuck you did. Bottom line, that's leadership, bruh. That's leadership. So, with that, hopefully we're done with Umar Johnson, at least for the foreseeable future. But this has been your episode of the Special Hotep Unit.
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as the Special Hotep Unit. These are their stories.
So that's it, man. That is it for today's episode of the Spare Report Podcast, man. This is the first episode of 2017. We got another episode coming up Saturday. I mean, not Saturday. Damn. Sunday, 8:30 Eastern Time. Do this twice a week. And yeah, this is what we're going to do from here on out, man. Twice a week, we'll be doing the Spirit Report. But before I get out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemails. I play them on the show and respond on the show. You can also email me at feedback@thespareport.com. That's feedback@thespareport.com. Hit me up on those emails. I'll read those emails and reply to you right here on the show as well, man. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both platforms is Mr_Span. Follow and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's The Span Report. Subscribe to The Span Report on YouTube. Get alerted when we go live. Participate in the chat room. Shout out to Hiroja Shibe and Cliff and Shane. Everybody in the chat room, man. Shout out to y'all tonight. Yeah, man, we're going to do this twice a week, man, every Thursday and every Sunday. And for all of your Spare Report needs, man, go to thespareport.com. Everything's there, man. Vote in the polls. Today's poll is, as a matter of fact, whether or not you still eat chitlins. Do you still eat chitlins, man? Go to the poll and vote on that, man. Let me know how many of y'all out here are still out here on these chitlin streets, man, real talk. And, yeah, man, we're getting ready to get up out of here, man. Thank you for everybody who was in the chat room. Thank you for everybody who's going to listen later. And until next time. Before I go, we're not doing the ass hat and the champ of the week. We're going to do those on Sundays. We do the ass hat and the champ of the week on Sundays, man. Real talk. We begin the week, or that is pretty much the beginning of a new week and the end of the old week. So, yeah, man, that's what we're going to do. But I got to get out of here. It's time to go. So until next time, fam. Peace.